Hallelujah. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor Jeanette. Give me my screens again, if you would. This picture that I have up here of someone kneeling at a tombstone. You know, I love every time I go to our national cemetery, you know, when we have a death in the family here that's in the military. There's often military honors. In fact, that happened that way for Daniel Hinton when we were out at the cemetery. And I see that beautifully lined up rows and rows of these headstones. You know, I'm reminded that these are all people that made the ultimate sacrifice, as we call it, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus said this in John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when they do that, you know, we call them heroes. Hey, guess what? Jesus is the ultimate hero. But the most defining trait of a hero is sacrifice. And I looked up in the dictionary that word hero. Here's what it says. A man or a woman of distinguished courage or ability, admired for his brave deeds and noble qualities. The second part of that definition, a person who, in the opinion of others, has heroic qualities or has performed a heroic act and is regarded as a model or an ideal. Aren't you glad that we have this Bible and we have the testimony of God Himself come to earth in the form of Jesus? He's our model. He's our ideal. He's our hero. But guess what? Jesus lives inside of us. So we have a hero inside of us. You know what that does? That gives us the ability to be a hero to the world around us. And I've been preaching this since the beginning of this year. With all the darkness, all the chaos in the world today, I believe what God is doing with the church, He's going to reintroduce the church. Next month, next Sunday, I'm going to start a summer series that speaks about the term of the new normal. Now, I'm going to talk about the new normal for the church, for the body of Christ, because I believe the glory of the Lord is rising upon us so that we stand out a little more. I don't want the church to be sidelined and ignored. I want us to stand up like Jesus said, that we could be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We can't go ignored in the world today, but we have to have an understanding of who we are in God. And it starts by knowing that you got a hero living inside of you. Mariah Carey sings that song, Hero. There's a hero in you. And I don't know if she sang that out of a testimony or not, but maybe she did. But the words of that song always touch me. Well, I know that some of you might not relate to this if you haven't had a loss in your family. But I want to shift gears here today and talk about the fact that God doesn't want us to die. He's already died for us. But the scripture is real clear. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. And how many of you know that takes a little dying? Dying to myself, dying to my flesh. I believe that one way the church is going to rise up and be seen and be valued is if we also live a life of sacrifice. You know, the world can see and smell a hypocrite. Amen? And some people don't come to church because they say, well, there's too many hypocrites there. To which I say, well, there's always room for one more. Yeah. But I think what's honoring to God is if we can live our lives in a way that people can say, you know what, there goes a God-fearing, you know, authentic Christian, because they can tell by your fruit, the fruit of your life, the testimony of your life. But look at this verse, Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy And pleasing to God. And then it says in the King James Version, this is your reasonable service. But I like the other translations that say, this is your true and proper worship. You know, we can come to church on a Sunday morning and sing some songs and, you know, lift our hands and call that worship. But the highest form of worship is just to obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Make the sacrifice of living for God and living according to the good book. You know what? It's got rewards. You know, I mean, Jesus didn't give us these commandments and instructions to make life heavy for us, but to help us have a quality of life. Because we reap what we sow. If we're going to sow what God's instructed us to do, man, you're going to reap. You're going to reap joy. Anybody interested in joy? Anybody interested in peace? You have the peace that passes all understanding in you. And living with hope. So many people hopeless in the world today. So I believe the church is rising up in this hour. And Galatians 2:20, Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, you know, I want to wake up the hero in you. Be a hero. Look at somebody next to you and say, be a hero. Bobby, be a hero. Bobby was a hero to me yesterday. He went deep sea fishing. And he caught some fish. How about this, Gary? He caught a red snapper and then a rudder. What's a rudder? I don't. That's in the back of the ship, right? Well, this was a fish. They called it a rudder. Anyway, he had them cleaned up and brought them to my house. And my dear wife breaded them and fried them up, and I ate them last night fresh. I mean, they didn't even make the refrigerator, much less the freezer. That was fresh. And Bobby, you were a hero. I love seafood. I'm always eating seafood. If I see food, I eat it. Yeah, seafood. But thank you very much. He's my hero. You know, I use that word kind of loosely around my house because my wife loves to say, oh, my hero. What do I have to do to get that, Pastor Lewis, in my house? Well, maybe catch and remove a snake, you know, from, we have some pet black snakes. No harm. We leave them. They're around our house. They're okay, right? Black snakes are good. Black racers. No snakes are good for some of you, but every once in a while, they're one of them sunning itself right out in front of our front door out on the sidewalk. And my wife, well, I go rescue her. Oh, my hero. You know, I'm her hero when I get the car fixed. Her car, you know, take and get it fixed. Oh, my hero. It's just little things. Or if I reach something high in a cabinet, because I'm the tall man in my family, you know. I love being a hero. Well, listen, I want us to see ourselves as a hero, living on assignment for God. God himself, the ultimate hero, living inside of us. God's going to give us opportunity to do this. And it says in the Word of God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So 1 John 4:4, I'm getting to my message here. This is just introduction, okay? Give me a few minutes here. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, is what that means. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This opportunity to be a hero will be a defining moment in your life, and it's going to happen many times. It's already happened many times. I recently told you when the defining moment came for my son, Michael, who just graduated from college, but when he was a little boy, he started playing ice hockey. And remember I told you when he had a huge playoff game, he's only 10 years old, and huge playoff game, and he was like the lead forward on this ice hockey team, and I think this thing was rollerblade at this point still. And they tied and they had this shootout at the end. He was the first one out in the middle of that that rink and went on one with the goalie and duked him and made the point. The crowd went wild. Man, that was a defining moment in his life because God used him like a hero on the team. God's going to use you in the same way. And I believe he's creating these events, these divine appointments for us to see with our eyes of faith, an event, a place, an action, an exercise of faith. And you're going to see God do something that's going to be amazing. And here's why. Because you are positioned by God. I want that to sink in a little bit. God knows where you live. He put you there. The scripture says that in Acts 17:26, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact places where they should live. This is in Acts 17 in Paul's famous sermon that he preached from Mars Hill in Athens. And he said, I see that many of you are religious. There were inscriptions on plaques and such. This was around the Acropolis. Some of you have been there with us. I've preached on Mars Hill. And the Acropolis, you know, is an amazing wonder of the world that's been restored from ancient Athens. But here, the Apostle Paul's preaching on this big rock where philosophers debated and taught and everything. He gets up there and he said, I see all these inscriptions to an unknown God. Let me introduce you to God, Apostle Paul says. And this is part of his sermon. He says, God made every nation of men to inhabit the whole earth and even determine where they should live. And then a couple of verses later, here's the verse we all recognize. For in him we live and move and have our being. Wow, we got to let that sink in. God orchestrates our path. And I'm always talking to you about look for the fingerprints of God. Because it's amazing. I got to tell you something. I just saw David and Peggy come to church this morning. And talk about God orchestrating your path. Just this week, I had the opportunity to pray for Peggy. Because they just bought a home here on Christian Retreat. So you're going to meet them. But believe it or not, I don't know, about a month ago, I get a knock on my door. And most of you know I live about a mile down the road. And this man's standing there. He's asking me about a house for sale on my street. I'm wondering if I know anything about it. I said I didn't. But we got to talking. And when he said he was looking for a place on the river, I said, well, maybe you should consider Christian Retreat. And had not met his wife. It was just him at the door. And here I'm meeting the fella, and just a few days later, you know, he's here buying a house. But yeah, praise God, that's good. I believe this is a little bit of heaven here. But then just a couple days ago, I got to lay hands on Peggy and pray for her. I noticed she's got oxygen and needs a miracle. How many believe in miracles? We've seen a lot of miracles here. In my mind, God brought them here for a miracle. Anybody can buy a home, and a lot of people buying homes today, but God loves you so much. He's tracking people into the path of people that believe in miracles, people of faith, people like you. God is positioning you to meet somebody's need, and that's how the church is going to arise. You know, here's a good example of that in 2 Kings 5:2. God used a little servant girl to reach the commander of the armies of Syria. Now, that's the story of Naaman. Remember, Naaman had leprosy. He was a valiant soldier. He was celebrated as a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. And here, serving his wife was a servant girl that had been kidnapped from Israel. You know, maybe the most least likely person. She was a captive serving the wife of this valiant Syrian soldier who had leprosy. And one day she says, you know what? She says to her, to his wife, she says, he should go see the prophet in Israel and he'd be healed. Well, long story short, he ends up going to Israel, getting permission of the king to come to Israel and look up Elisha. And of course, as the story goes, you know, he got angry when Elisha just sent his servant with a message, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman says, why should I do that? He gets angry. He says, are there cleaner rivers around Damascus? You know, why should I do that? But the servant girl and some of the other servants said, it's easy. Just go do it. Just obey the prophet of God. And he did, and he got healed. Hallelujah. God orchestrated that and used the most least likely person. And he's going to do that for you through your family, maybe in your school, at your place of work, even in this church. It's going to happen more and more. And I love it when it happens. Even one time when I bumped into a lady in Publix, because you know I don't like to shop, but my wife gives me a list, and I like to hunt. So, you know, I get this list, and I'm running down the aisles, and I turn a corner and crash into a lady. And while I'm apologizing, and she's apologizing, she mentions, I just don't have my mind on what I'm doing today because my daughter is in such need right now. All of a sudden, I go, wait a minute. This ain't no accident. You know, let's pray. And we're praying there in Publix. That's going to happen more and more because you've been positioned by God. Amen. A few more amens out there. Look at this. You've been resourced by God. Remember the little boy's lunch here in John 6:9. And this story always means a lot to me because the Bible says that Jesus tested Philip by saying to him, because he knew what he was going to do, but he said, hey, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Or how are we going to go buy food for all these people? And Philip said, what? He said, it'd take 8 months of a man's wages to feed all these people. You want me to go buy food for all of them? Hallelujah. They must have had the money. He said, you want me to just use that money and go buy food? But here's what Jesus said. What do you have? He's asking us many times, what do you have in your hand that God can bless? And it's not just money. It could be your house, your car, your gifts and abilities. I'm so blessed by Lori Houston in our church. Her house is Grand Central Station. Got a beautiful house over in Country Creek. Yeah, across the road here. And, but it's just always bustling with people that need a place to live, you know. And, in fact, Jean Nikolic, you know, between houses and has been over there with her. And I said, Lori, your house is just Grand Central Station. And I thought maybe she'd say, yeah. She said, well, I like it that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you use your resources for God, He's going to bless you. There's people picking up people for church in their car. God's going to make that car last longer. Use your gifts. Use your abilities. Use your dreams and your visions. Get involved in the dream here. You are resourced by God. Everything you have is God's. If you want to hold on to it, God will just leave you alone. But if you want to treat it like God's and say, God, this is your problem, you know, I mean, things will last longer. You will get better deals because it's God's business. Amen? Number three, you're connected by God. We're connected together. The way God brings people together to do greater things in a church. I recently brought this story to remembrance about this paralytic, a paralyzed man who needed a healing. And Jesus was preaching in Capernaum. And in a house, and it was so packed out, they couldn't get in the door. But the paralytic had friends of faith. And they had a lot of faith and a lot of tenacity and courage. They took their friend on a stretcher up to the roof and tore the roof apart to lower him to Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, that paralytic was well connected. I've told you before how I've prayed for my neighbors. Live in a community about a mile down the road, and I've got neighbors. And I've seen God heal just across the fence, praying for somebody. Well, just recently, my neighbor comes over and says, I'm going under the knife. I'm going to have open heart surgery. Got a bad valve. And he was real nervous. And not church-going people. What an opportunity. I said, Rick, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, would you? I'm going to pray for you. God is with you. When I lay my hands on you, the peace of God is going to be with you. He's been through that operation and out and healing nicely. But open heart surgery, that is huge. Very successful, but huge. Traumatic. But God. My neighbor has a good praying friend, a friend of faith. I want you to be that way too and look for opportunities. Connected by your occupation, by sports, hobbies, out on the golf course. The young man back here that could whip me in golf, he's a golf pro. How old are you, son? 11. Yeah, I'm going to leave him alone because I play golf with a lot of passion, and it goes this way and that way. I like to, you know, crush it, right? But I just believe that we're going to see more and more divine appointments in the day that we're living in. Are you ready for this? Will you open your spiritual eyes? And even if in fear and trembling, say, I'm going to offer prayer. I'm going to offer prayer to this person. And you hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you can do this. You can do it. I'm with you. And at the moment you do and you walk away, you're going to be excited. You're going to be happy. The joy of the Lord comes when you walk in obedience to God's instructions in your life. And here's my final point. You're empowered by God. You know, the Good Samaritan story, he didn't have to stop and help this guy. He was not expected to. I mean, the priest, the Levite that went by, they were expected to and they didn't. Don't leave it up to the pastors and some of the leaders you respect. Sometimes they don't like to get their hands dirty. But maybe you are ready, willing, and able to do the job, like the Good Samaritan. And I'll tell you what, the moment you just step out, God will empower you for that task. Most of you know that I like going out on the streets and talking to people out downtown. And my wife says whenever I get discouraged or I get depressed in my walk with God, that can happen, that I just go out on the streets and find somebody to pray for. It's true. It helps you. You can come out with us on Monday nights or Wednesday afternoons. And I remember I have a Good Samaritan story. I got to tell you. One time I'm coming back from ministering on the streets. It's late at night, you know, it's like midnight. And I'm driving home and I stop at a traffic light. And right in front of me, just off to my right, a gang fight starts up. And I mean, it's two different gangs and it's racial, it's black and white type thing. And we're talking pipes and chains, and I mean, it was evil and very, very bad. But I got to tell you, without even thinking, just instinctively, I just pulled off along the side of the road and got out of my car and started running out to them. Why would I do that? And I got to tell you, at that moment, I was empowered by God for that assignment. And I'm saying, hey, stop, in the name of Jesus. Boy, that'll get attention. I just come off the street ministering to people. And, you know, not all of them were ready to hear the gospel. Some of them were yelling back at me some choice words that are not in the Bible. But I got to tell you, I stopped it from happening. Because I created such order in the midst of that chaos that people started disbanding and Then I went in and called. There was a convenience store there. Went in and told them to call 911. The cops came and I left. When I was driving away from there, I started shaking. Now the empowerment, the anointing had left. And I'm thinking, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? Because one of them even said, get out of here, white boy. Had a different word for it. But he said, or you're going to die. You know, but at that moment, I didn't really hear that. I was on assignment, empowered by God. That's who we are. Because we got a hero living inside of us. And I want you to understand that today. Because you can use your time, use your money, use your compassion, use your desire to please God. And you know what? God will show up and empower you for the task that's ahead of you. Draw nigh to God, the Bible says, and He'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to our Father's business. And that's why we're getting our arms around the church congregation again now after this pandemic and saying, okay, let's discover who we are. Let's discover, you know, what the new normal is for the church, because the world needs us. America needs us. And I believe a hero is someone who has given his life to something bigger than himself. Let's close today. I want you to just put your hand on your heart right where you sit today. And Father, I just ask you, Lord, to wake up the hero inside of each one of us. Lord, we see from your word that you have us here. You've conceived us. You've placed us. You've even brought us in this church where we're hearing how we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you've resourced us. We're blessed. We're connected to you. We're connected to one another. And Father, you said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and power to be witnesses. Father, I pray, wake up. Wake up. That notion inside of us that wants to please you, that wants to be a living sacrifice. And Lord, keep us from displeasing you with just inaction. Father, we want to exercise faith and please you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Let's stand together here today. I believe that all of you have this desire. You wouldn't be here in church on a Sunday. But I would like to invite you just for a moment to step out from your seat and come to the front. If you'd like to just see something that would stir your heart up in faith. You know, I was real dead in my spiritual life at a time, and I had to ask God, Lord, reveal yourself to me. In fact, I told God, I need a dream. I need a vision. I need handwriting on the walls. I want to see an angel. You say, are you allowed to pray that way? Yes, yes, yes. Sister Esther, you were saying this week, you know, you need to ask. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. I want to pray for somebody here today that you just want to move away from that space that you've been at, and you want to embrace this idea that God is with you and has an assignment, a purpose upon your life. And I'm going to just ask God to just manifest himself to you, to shake you, to understand who you are. Just come on down real quick. I don't have time to wait, but I want to just release this message to you particularly today and see what God will do. And by the way, if you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not right with God, come on down to the front too, because this is a way that we move away from the spot that we're at and say, God, I want more of you. Anybody else want to come? Just come to the front. I believe that God's already at work just because you've gotten this far. You've stepped away from the place that you're at. Barbara, I'm glad you came up. You've been on my heart. I drove by your house the other day, and God said, pray for Barbara. Thank you. And here you are. Thank you. Yes. So I didn't have to come to you. You came to me. But Father, I thank you that you've had Barbara in this community for so many years. Yes. But Lord, you're taking her to another level.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, yes. Awaken the hero. inside of her. In Jesus' name, for Neil, oh God, awaken, awaken the hero inside of him. Father, all of these are your children, and you are our Heavenly Father, the great and mighty God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that nothing's impossible with you. Father, place your hand upon them. For Angela, Lord, place your hand upon them, Father. Awaken, awaken the power, the wonder-working power of God in these. I pray, Father, open their eyes to see divine assignments. Let them see the fingerprints of God upon their lives. Lord, let there be testimonies that come from these that have come up today to say, yes, Lord, I want to embrace your assignment for my life. Position me, Lord. Empower me. Connect me, oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Does all of you up here say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Send me, Lord. I'll go. I'll go. Send me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord today for his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.